As you saw.
Dismissed. Go downstairs for Children's Church. Before I get into today's sermon, I want to again pray for VBS and specifically pray for those who have been and continue to be involved. We want to pray for the ministers, the workers. And so there's been people who have already been in prayer regularly, consistently. There's been people inviting. There's been people decorating and planning, and these are all ongoing. In fact, we'll be meeting this afternoon to do some more decorating and set up and et cetera. And then during next week, every evening, there's going to be a prayer team here. I think that's amazing. We need that. We can entertain, we can do a lot of things, but we can't change a heart and a mind. That's the work of the Spirit. And so there will be a prayer team meeting here every night in the library. Inviting, I mentioned already, but it's still going on. And I know we want to re-invite some of the people that we've already invited. Just a reminder. Pray that through. Is there somebody you have need to invite or re-invite? There's people involved in welcoming next week and doing tech. And like Darren said, we'll divide it up. There's children's leaders, activity leaders, youth leaders, adult leaders, facilitators, music team. There's people that set up and take down and work in the kitchen and clean up in there. If you're involved in any of these ways, stand up. I want to pray for you. That includes prayer, inviting, decorating, planning, welcome, children, youth, adult, tech, music. Come on, stand up. I know who many of you are, most of who you are. And it's good. We want to pray, commission this team. This is good stuff. This is an incredible opportunity. This isn't just an event. I mean, we're talking about journeying today in our service. This is part of people's journey. And what if this week helps someone adjust their life towards Jesus by a few degrees? In a year from now, that'll make a huge difference in their lives. We get to engage with people, not just host an event. We get to engage with God's Word, not just host an event. We get to engage with a living, risen Lord and Savior, and help other people engage with Him. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we pray for each of these standing here. I know there's some who are not able to be here this morning, but will be here Monday to Thursday, or Monday and Tuesday, or Wednesday, and whatever days, the evenings that they can be. We pray Your Spirit would flow through us. Yes, we would come as learners as well. There's things that we need to learn about Your Word, and Your written Word reveals the living Word. We want to engage You more, Jesus. Lead us on a journey. And equip and empower us to play our role so that other people are led on a journey as well, towards Your Word, towards You, Jesus, towards the abundant life that You've made possible. I thank You for each of these workers in so many different areas. I pray that we would truly engage with You. Experience You, Jesus, up close and personal. We would engage with those who come, visitors among us. We wouldn't cluster in ourselves. We would be here to care for every visitor who enters this place and for each other and journey together. And I pray You would do a work above and beyond what we can ask or imagine, way above and beyond what we can do on ourselves, in and of ourselves, God. We give You the praise and the glory and the honor. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. It's good to take on some things that are way bigger than us. At times it seemed, whoa, this is really big. Especially certain things like the kitchen, and we have no idea how many people are going to show up for food. But by faith, we're moving forward. We've tried to make it adaptable, flexible for numbers. I know several people have swimming lessons right till 6 o'clock, so they'll come in shooting in here, but they'll be here still. They'll be here, and the opportunity's there. So it's a good thing. As we continue through Mark series, the Son of God, Mark is revealing. The Son of God. Like, this isn't just a biography about somebody. This is the Son of God. It reveals who Jesus really is. Ralph Waldo Emerson, known for the quote, "Life is a journey, not a destination." As we look at our passage this morning, Mark 15, 21 to 32, life is a journey, not a destination. I've been saying for years, life is a journey much more than a destination. Because there is a destination, especially for us as believers, right? We have a living hope in Jesus, a future, and a promise. We take hold of that. But it's more than just a destination. It's directional. What direction is our lives moving? We're moving towards something, away from something. What are those things? What defines the path we are on? This summer in August, my family is planning on going to Yellowstone with Beverly's mom's going to fly out from Ontario and come down with us. My parents are going to come down with their fifth wheel. We acquired a tent trailer this winter, so we'll get it out there. And what path should we take? What road should we take down to Yellowstone? Well, I'm a bit of an explorer. I don't like taking the same route home that I took there. So we'll aim to go down number 5 and wind our way down there, and we'll come a little more direct route. It's only 7 kilometers difference, according to Google. But I get to see 2 different roads. And it's about journeying. And it's not just arriving and exploring Yellowstone. What's God got for us on the way? Who will we meet? Can we be ministers? August 6th is a communion and sharing service. Come ready to share. God's been doing some things. I heard from somebody this week, called me up, said they had an appointment. I won't tell you lots of details. I hope they share their own story at some point in the near future, maybe August 6th. But had an appointment, a very serious appointment at the hospital. But they're not just there that morning praying about themselves. They go, "Make me a blessing today, God." Goes to the hospital expecting God to answer that prayer and has 2 very specific opportunities to minister to people. Isn't that awesome? Like, and he's doing that all the time. God is intentional about what he is doing, and he invites us to be intentional with him. Life is a journey, much more than just a destination. And how are we journeying? What direction are we going? What road are we on? Winnie the Pooh is quoted, "Life is a journey to be experienced, not a problem to be solved." Sometimes we only shrink back. We only really find ourselves reacting to things going on. But what journey are we mapping out? What road are we choosing to be on and move forward on? I'm titled this morning's message, "The Road to the Cross." These few verses here really is the final road for Jesus, right? We've been studying Mark here. It slows down during the week before his crucifixion. But this is very specifically the road or the journey to the cross, Mark 15, 21 to 32. The first part of this, I'm going to break it into 3 little parts here. This road, this journey to the cross is a cross-bearing discipleship. He comes back to this theme he's already introduced earlier. I'm going to read verse 21 here. "So as the guards are leading Jesus out, and the Roman soldiers, compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross." See, he mentioned someone, Simon of Cyrene, who must be lesser known, maybe not known at all. So then he gives this, who's coming in from the country. This is why maybe you haven't heard of him. And he's the father of Alexander and Rufus, who seem to be known to Mark's readers, right? It'd be like me, like Philip's parents are here this morning. So they get introduced as Philip's parents because I've met Philip and Stefani and growing a friendship with them, but now we get to meet parents, right? And so Paul does, or Mark does the same thing here. They're known to his readers. And he introduces this theme. They compelled him to carry the cross. Someone gets to carry the cross with Jesus. And so do we. This is a theme. He's already brought it up in Mark 8, verse 34. And calling the crowd to him, this is Jesus teaching, with his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Deny self. Don't be led only, here's what I wanted to do. I desired this. But live out who we're really created to be. And we go on that road to the cross with Jesus. And we have an opportunity to bear that crossbar, the same cross Jesus is carrying. A.W. Tozer says, "Wearing a cross," right? A lot of people wear it around their neck, "will not make you a disciple. Carrying your cross does." Walking the road, the way, moving in the way, the direction of Jesus is where our discipleship comes from. And it's much more than a destination, but the destination helps. Listen to this story. John Sutherland Bonnell shares the experience from World War II. A soldier lay wounded on the battlefield. In fact, he was going in and out of consciousness. He wasn't moving when the rest of the troops were moving by. He was left there as dead. But as the evening cooled off, life slowly and painfully returned. He's aware of his injuries now, and he just thirsted for water. But no one answered his cries. No one attended his wounds. Mercifully, he slipped into an extended unconsciousness. When he awoke, a chaplain was bending over him. "You say, my boy, that you were wounded on Good Friday and that you have been lying on the battlefield ever since? Do you know that this is Easter morning?" He's been laying there for those days, Good Friday till Easter morning. And this young soldier says, "How wonderful. For me too, it is like a resurrection. Out there on the field, I died 1,000 deaths, but somehow we do not mind the crucifixion when we are sure of the resurrection." There is a destination coming, but what are we moving towards? Are we moving towards really that destination, this life that Jesus has made possible? Moving towards that. Our carrying of the cross is sacrificial. Soldier makes a sacrifice, leaves home and family, everything else, to fight for freedom. And all of the sacrifices that are made will seem utterly insignificant compared to the reward. But we still need to journey through those sacrifices, through those times, like we were singing, right? We praise God when things are going great. We praise God when they're completely challenging and we're filled with, life is full of trials. But this reward that he's moving towards is both future and present. Living the life we were truly made for. See, if we just live for ourselves, then we just become increasingly selfish and discontent. But if we walk the road to the cross with Jesus, we become increasingly fulfilled as we're living out what we're created for, bringing Him glory and worship and praise. Dr. Howard Kelly, there's a famous Christian physician, he pointed this out, and as I reflected on this, I wanted to mention it this morning, but I mean, Jesus' first words at age 12, right, when he stays at the temple teaching and dialoguing, debating with the religious leaders, his parents, "Where is he?" And they go back and find him. And he says, "Did you not know I would be about my Father's business? I'm on this road. I'm intentional about moving in this direction." In other words, I'm about my Father's business. And his last words are, "It is finished. I've done my part in walking the road set out for me specifically. And he does it perfectly. He does it without turning to the right or to the left. Are we about the business, the Father's business this morning? What is Jesus doing around us, in the people's lives around us? And how can we come alongside and carry that cross? Be a part of that journey as well. Walk that road. How can we assist Jesus? Like Simon of Cyrene, he was compelled to carry that cross. We as believers get to choose that. Yeah, I want to be a part of what Jesus is doing. Carry this load. Help him do the Father's business around me. The road to the cross is about cross-bearing discipleship, and there's lots more we could say about that. It's also a confirmation of Jesus' identity. This has come up again and again because Mark wants to point out for us, Jesus is the Son of God. Make no mistake about this. Verses 22 and following down to 27. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each would take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. How does this confirm Jesus' identity? Well, this has been prophesied in all sorts of places. Actually, this is one of the Bibles I ordered. They have a whole case of them to give away during family VBS week. So if any family individuals come who don't have Bibles, we would love to get them started with one of these Bibles. It's the New Living Translation. I'm going to read some verses from Psalm 22. I hope you recognize that Psalms, they minister to us differently, but they're also, this is also prophetic. And prophecy is, it's true, there's a near fulfillment and there's a far fulfillment. This is true in David's life, and it's true in David's descendant's life, that is Jesus. So listen to some of the similar language of what we've heard this morning and in other Gospels, and what we hear in Psalm 22. My God, why have you abandoned me or forsaken me? Jesus quotes that on the cross. Why are you so far away from me when I groan for help? Every day I call to you, my God, but you do not answer. Every night I lift my voice, but I find no relief. Jesus' sentiment on the cross. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Our ancestors trusted in you and you rescued them. They cried out to you and you were saved. They trusted in you and were never disgraced. But I am a worm and not a man. I am scorned and despised by all. Everyone who sees me mocks me. Remember especially last week's verses. They sneer and shake their heads, saying, "Is this the one who relies on the Lord? Then let the Lord save him. If the Lord loves him so much, let the Lord rescue him." Right? His accuser said those exact words last week, what we read. Yet you brought me safely from my mother's womb and led me to trust you at my mother's breast. I was thrust into your arms at my birth. You have been my God from the moment I was born. Do not stay so far from me, for trouble is near and no one else can help me. My enemies surround me like a herd of bulls. Fierce bulls of Bashan have hemmed me in. Like lions, they open their jaws against me, roaring and tearing into their prey. My life is poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax melting within me. My strength is dried up like sun-baked clay. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. That's how dry, how thirsty he is. You have laid me in the dust and left me for dead. My enemies surround me like a pack of dogs. An evil gang closes in on me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all of my bones. That's how hungry he is. My enemies stare at me and gloat. They divide up my garments themselves and throw dice for my clothing. And in so many other places, the life and death and resurrection of Jesus fulfills so many prophecies, hundreds of them in Scripture. And Mark is going, don't miss this. This is the certain identity of the promised Messiah, the Son of God, the true identity of Jesus. Don't miss this. So many prophecies are fulfilled. And I won't get into it this morning, but the post-resurrection evidences are incredible as well. Hundreds of people saw Jesus post-resurrection. They're absolutely overwhelming. It's one of the best, if not the best, historically accurate and reaffirmed, confirmed event in history. We take so many other historical events and write them in our history books, and there's only one or two or three accounts of that ever happening. There is so many accounts of who Jesus was and what he did and how he lived and how he died. And it's verifiable. He says, don't miss this. This confirms the identity of Jesus as truly human, as truly God. He's not just a good man. He's not just a made up story. It's not just a good example. He's fully God and fully man, worthy of us following. He's perfect in love and holiness. And his sacrifice for us is real and necessary and amazing. But many of us, we only see one or the other, right? We see either the divine Jesus that's too unattainable and disconnected from us, or we see the human. And we see the cross that he carried, and we go, whoa, it's way too much for me to do. We need to see them both together, the fullness of who Jesus is. His humanity that says, Father, if there's any other way, take this cup from me. I don't want to suffer this way, but he's committed to this journey, to this road. He's going to walk in obedience, and he's going to move towards the cross. He says, but not my will, yours be done. And we need to see that coming together and what he's made possible in us as well. We put a lot of pressure on ourselves, I think, to carry our own cross, right? This is what I think Jesus has called me to, and rather rely on him and each other, right? He's humble enough to let Simon of Cyrene carry his cross. And he's Jesus. What are you trying to carry alone? That's not yours to carry alone. Yes, it's about cross-bearing discipleship. And it confirms Jesus' identity. And we have him to rely on. And he's put us in this family called the church. Christians to rely on as well. The road to the cross is also, finally, filled with statements like, come down from the cross. Read verse 29 to the end of today's passage. And those who passed by derided him. There's more mocking going on, like we talked about last time. Wagging their heads and saying, aha, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. And come down from the cross. So also the chief priests and the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, he saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may believe, that we may see and believe. And those who were crucified with him also reviled him, said things against him. There's been all sorts of opportunities for people to see the signs and wonders that Jesus has done. And they keep asking for more. And Jesus' response says, the only sign, further sign I'll give you is the sign of Jonah, who spent 3 days in the belly of a whale, and I'll spend 3 days in the belly of the earth. And that's to come. He's going to the cross. And on the third day, he will be raised, and that's the final sign. They've had so many other opportunities. They've seen him do miracles, and they're still going, yeah, but we need you to do some more. And there's always going to be someone asking for more, 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 greater, higher expectations. Come down. The demands of others. It's never enough. We've all felt this. We've imposed it on ourselves, right? Some of us with our parents. Dad was never satisfied. I felt like I was never enough. Wasn't ever done. Come down. They're asking for one more thing. Come down, then we'll believe. Yeah, sure, until they ask for the next thing. Even our friends and enemies, right, can put pressures on us. And we put pressures on ourselves to be something that we're not. We have in this passage this road to the cross. What road are we going on? Walking the way of Jesus. Walking arm in arm, hand in hand. Walking in step with Jesus along this road. We carry all sorts of crosses. When we listen to people around us and our own passions and desires, they're all fickle. And it distorts who Jesus truly is, his true identity. And it keeps us scurrying around, uncertain of the road we should be on. But the road to the cross is the one Jesus is on. And we will learn to walk in step, we attune to his voice. And it clarifies the cross he's asking us to carry. And we carry it with him and with each other. We carry each other's burdens. And in that, we also experience the reality of who Jesus really is, his identity. And it confirms, like this passage does, this is the real Jesus. He's not asking us for something we can't do. He's inviting us to live the life we were made for. And then we can tune out the come downs of the world and the other demands. They don't matter so much to us. And it becomes about us experiencing God as he really is and living out what he has really called us to do. Enter into biblical community. It's a risk because we're going to sense those demands on us. We're going to be hurt and disappointed and let down. And Jesus says, and in me, still engage. It's a good thing to be involved in the community of the church, the fellowship of believers. We learn to walk the road to the cross. Denying ourselves. We don't come first. We're not on the throne. It's not to us that we need to be slaves or anything else. It's to Jesus alone. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you. Thank you for opening our eyes, those of us who are here today, and we have seen you, Jesus. We've glimpsed you. Thank you for this passage, God. And Jesus, for your obedience, walking to the cross, walking the hard road. There's other times you celebrated, but you walked many hard roads, never losing sight of the destination, not getting distracted, not getting way off track. But walking that journey, would you open our eyes how we too can walk that? And it's not an overbearing message. It's a cross-bearing message. We carry in partnership with you the will of the Father. It's what we were made for. And we don't do it alone. Father, help us walk as disciples. Carry our cross in the freedom and the knowledge, in the growing knowledge of who you are, your true identity. and free us from listening to all the other demands, pressures we put on ourselves and others put on us and whatever else, to be something, to do something other than what you've called us to. Would you help us walk the road to the cross with you? Amen.